I invite you this evening to turn with me in your Bibles to our scripture passage. Tonight we're going to look at the book of Genesis, chapter 13. Genesis 13. Then Abram went up from Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot with him to the south. Abram was very rich in livestock, in silver, and in gold. And he went on his journey from the south as far as Bethel, to the place where his tent had been at the beginning, between Bethel and Ai, to the place of the altar which he had made there at first. And there Abraham called on the name of the Lord. Lot also, who went with Abraham, had flocks and herds and tents. Now the land was not able to support them, that they might dwell together, for their possessions were so great that they could not dwell together. And there was strife between the herdsmen of Abram's livestock and the herdsmen of Lot's livestock. The Canaanites and the Perizzites then dwelled in the land. So Abram said to Lot, "Please, let there be no strife between you and between me, and between my herdsmen and your herdsmen. For we are brethren. Is not the whole land before you? Please separate from me. If you take the left, then I will go on the right. Or if you go to the right, then I will go to the left." And Lot lifted up his eyes and saw all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as you would go towards Zorah. Then Lot chose for himself and all the plain of Jordan. And Lot journeyed east, and they separated from each other. Abram dwelt in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelt in the cities of the plains, and pitched his tent even as far as Sodom. But the men of Sodom were exceedingly wicked and sinful against the Lord. The Lord said to Abram, after Lot had separated from him, "Lift your eyes now and look from the place where you are, northward, southward, eastward, and westward. For all the land which you see, I give you and your descendants forever. And I will make your descendants as the dust of the earth, so that if a man could number the dust of the earth, then your descendants also could be numbered. Arise and walk in the land through its length and its width, and I give it to you." Then Abram moved his tent and went and dwelt in the terebim trees, the trees of Mamre, which are in Hebron, and built an altar there to the Lord. So far, the reading of God's Word. You know, I suppose I could really speak eloquently about that poor choice that Lot made. Preachers like to talk about that subject. And I'm sure you've heard sermons on this very text, that Lot pitched his tents over by Sodom. And then you can tell people that their choice was very egotistic and very selfish, and that Sodom and Gomorrah, those terribly bad cities, that he just made a poor choice. And then you could really make a prize-winning sermon about the moral lesson here. Make proper choices. Don't choose so selfishly like Lot chose. But you see, there's something about that kind of interpretation of the text that doesn't sit right. We can be so superficial sometimes. Preachers can be so superficial. We can be eloquent, I suppose, but then also we can also give something just kind of, oh, well, give it a once-over, it's not all that important. And we can deal that way sometimes with Scripture. And I might as well ask you right at the beginning, what would you have done? If your rich uncle came to you and said, "Well, look, there are no strings attached, I let you choose. There, toward the east, all that wonderful land fertile land, $20,000-$30,000 an acre. And there toward the west, well, there's that rocky soil, that $200-$300 an acre stuff. It's an awful place there. It's going to be hard to make a go there. But I leave it up to you. Well, I guess that each one of us would have said to the rich uncle, well, do you really mean it? Is that the choice now that you've given to me? Seriously? And our rich uncle would say, well, yes, I'm serious. I'm an older man now. You have many years ahead of you. Which do you want? That $30,000 an acre stuff? That fertile valley over there by Jordan? And all the opportunities? The ready market by Sodom and Gomorrah? Or do you want that stony land over there? That stony land that's going to make it very hard to make anything go. Well, you see, beloved, with all things being equal, which would you have chosen? I would have chosen exactly like Lot chose. And then you'd say, well, see, now you shouldn't be so selfish. You should always be thinking the best of someone else. I remember the times when we had to divide a candy bar, and then my brother would have to do the cutting, and I would do the choosing. I've never seen anybody cut so fine, so careful. One little wedge of chocolate over, and he knew the deal was up. Which would you choose? You've got a wealthy uncle who's going to say, go ahead, which land do you want, this or that? Well, this one is beautiful. It's watered. It's by ready markets and so on. Well, I'll choose that. And then you see my whole sermon is gone. Because then you'd say, well, don't be like Lot. Don't be selfish like him. But you see, we would have done exactly the same thing. If we had the choice, we would have gone out and said, well, that's better land. That's a whole lot nicer there. I can see myself making something go there. That other place, well, there's nothing going on there. And then you could say, well, preacher, you can preach all night if you want. Well, you won't. But if you were, we wouldn't be convinced any other way, because we'll just go along with that good land, of course. But you see, that kind of moralistic preaching does not bring any goodness for what the gospel is presenting. That kind of simplistic, superficial preaching is not the preaching of God's word. I'm totally on the wrong track if I'm going to be trying to draw out some moral lessons of this little choice made by Lot. Because then the reaction will be, well, you know, what really do I care about a decision between an uncle and his nephew so many millennia ago? What relevance is that here while my life is roaming around on this planet and it's getting very tense? And I have so many things I have to think about and so many things that my brain will go to, and you want to talk to me about this little moral lesson? Why don't you just get Aesop's Fables and preach to me about how bad selfishness is? That's not what this text is, people. Believe me. If I were to send you home now with just a nice little moral lesson, don't be selfish like Lot, I would be giving you stones for bread. Moralistic preaching is giving people stones instead of bread. You see, beloved, we have to ask ourselves the question tonight, what does God have to say to us in this passage? What is the redemptive historical meaning behind why we opened this passage and what this has to say to our lives today? What in the world is the redemptive meaning of this unique, particular choice of Lot? And then you see, we're not only going to see what moral lessons we can be gathering here, but we also have to see what that choice meant. also in relation to this particular historical event, that it's a matter of life and death. It's a battle between Christ and the Antichrist. It's a battle between life and utter destruction. Okay, first of all, who was Abram? Abram was that man who was driven into isolation. Abram was the one who was driven away from his parental home. He was driven out into that wilderness without a compass, without a destination really, without much of a future. And the only kinsman that joined him was Lot, his nephew. Whether he felt sorry for Abraham or whether he was personally involved with Abraham and didn't know much about the story, I don't know. We're not told that. But Lot went with Abraham. And Abram left his parental home, driven into isolation. But God gave Abram the promise, listen, you will be a mighty nation. You will inherit the promised land. You and your seed and all the nations of the earth will be blessed. And Lot went with Abram. Not just to keep him company, but now we begin to realize that Lot clung to Abram because that promise was wrapped up in that whole inheritance given to Abram. Abram was promised land. And it was going to open up for him. And in Abram, the future was to open up. In Abram, salvation and redemption and the day of Jesus Christ were going to come. So Lot went with Abram. And if Lot would only stick with Abram, the Abram that was driven into isolation, but also the Abram who was given all those glorious promises. If Lot would only stay with Abram, cling to him, because he had to keep his eye on the promise. The promises were with Abram. And if he did that, Lot's life would be blessed. He would receive not only a fertile land, but he would receive everything else, a new heaven and a new earth. Not just the struggling life here on earth for some 80 or 90 years, or perhaps in those days 120 years, but the perspective of eternal life, the perspective of glory forever and ever, that was all wrapped up with Abram. The current of God's grace was going to flow to all the nations of the world through Abram. But then it happened, something very incidental. The servants of Lot and the servants of Abram did not get along all that well. And oftentimes you have that when you have relatives in business together, when people are that close with each other. Undoubtedly, Abram and Lot got along well together. They were blood relatives. But their servants were quarreling with each other. And that brought all kinds of tension within the corporation, within their business. And finally, Abram, the wiser and older one, said, well, perhaps it's time that we part. And he must have looked at Lot, because it was not easy for Abram to say that. Abram says, look, Lot, there is that east, those fertile valleys, that beautiful land over there, full of water, ready markets. Sodom and Gomorrah are there. Everything your little heart desires. Meanwhile, there's the West. That doesn't have very much to offer. But I let you choose. And while he said that, he probably looked very carefully at his nephew Lot. What's he going to decide? And you know what Lot should have said? Lot should have said immediately, what? There's no choice. Even though we have come to the conclusion that this land can't support both of us together, there is no possible way that I'm going to choose to leave you. None whatsoever. Uncle Abram, you have the words. You have the promises. With you there will be blessings of life, of eternal life. And later, the coming of this promised Messiah. I can't leave you. I can't forsake you. But he did just that. He saw the quarreling servants. He looked out towards the east and he saw that beautiful land. And he looked at Sodom and Gomorrah. And he looked toward the west and he saw that stony ground. And he said to Abram, I'm going to choose for the east. I'm going to pitch my tents over there near Sodom. And you see, brothers and sisters, young people, that's not so much selfish. Oh, sure, it was that too. But that choice of Lot really was unbelief. And now we get to the heart of the text. This story of Abram and Lot is not preserved all these many years to teach us a little moral lesson about selfishness. This choice of Lot was a choice of life or death. This is unbelief. This is saying to Abram, look, uncle, this land is meaningful. The land out there toward the east is fruitful and meaningful apart from any promises. Those promises, they're not all that significant to me. What God has said as His promises to you, Abram, it's not all that much importance to me. What's important is my future. What's important is this land and what I can do to make a good living on it. I know you've been promised the new heaven and the new earth. I know that the Redeemer is going to come from you and that all this is going to open up because of you. But listen, land, that's opportunity. Ready markets, apart from that word of God, is more meaningful to me because that's what counts. You see, brothers and sisters, I believe that this is something that we ought to take a very careful look at tonight, because I believe that this choice of Lot comes to us every day in many different ways. We're always asking our children, why do you get up in the morning? Well, maybe you ask them, why don't you get up in the morning? Why do you go to work? Why do you go to school? What motivates you? What in the world is it that's driving you? Why do you go to trade school? Why do you go to college? Why do you gather and why do you save and why do you spend life the way you spend it? And far too many times we're given the answer, if not out loud, then by our example, that the only thing that really matters is our land. It's our inheritance that we can hold on to. It's the East. It's the East with all of its opportunities. It's that East with fewer working hours and higher wages. It all looks so good to us. And sometimes we give the impression not only that that's what counts in the world, but that's what counts anywhere. As long as you have. As long as you have possessions. And then we don't think so much about those promises, do we? Oh, I know, we go to church and we read the Bible. And I know we want to struggle understanding God's Word. But far too often those beautiful promises of God's Word are not all that relevant to us. They're not in the forefront of our minds when we make life choices. And so, beloved, Lot's choice is not just a warning about being selfish. But look, when Uncle Abram said to his nephew Lot, you can go one of two ways. Abram was saying to Lot, well, you can go the way of obedience in light of God's Word and share that fulfillment of all God's covenant promises with me. The land is open for us because God has given us the land. God will give you a new heaven and a new earth. And in us, all the nations of the world will be blessed because the Messiah will be born out of us. We will have everything our hearts desires, not only for this time, but also for eternity. You see, there should have been no choice for Lot. Lot should have said immediately, "Oh, Uncle Abram, I will stay with you. Because in company with you, there is eternal life. In company with you, the heavens are open for me, and I have everything my heart could ever desire." But it was a choice for Lot. And Lot, brothers and sisters, made the wrong choice. Lot chose by sight, not by faith. Lot looked to the things of time, not the things of eternity. Lot declared by his choice that land can be a blessing apart from the promises of the Word of God. Lot declared that his choice of having ready markets in this world can be advantageous apart from service to God. Money and worldly prosperities, that gold and platinum Visa card, can really give you the most happiness. Well, you never have to think about the promises that God has made in His Word. And that was fundamentally the wrong choice for Lot. Oh, I know, he pitched his tents near Sodom. Yes, he did. Because if you make that fundamental wrong choice, if you refuse to live by what God has demanded to seek first the kingdom and its righteousness, then all the other things necessary for life will be yours as well. If you fail to heed that, first of all, if seeking the kingdom of God is not your first priority, then you will make terrible decisions. And not only we read that Lot pitch his tents near Sodom, eventually we read he made his home in Sodom. To Lot, Sodom and Gomorrah looked prosperous and looked inviting. Fertile land, beautiful crops, people in the cities ready to buy those crops. And there he went with his growing children. And he went to the neighborhood of Sodom and Gomorrah, cities of idolatry. When you think about Sodom and Gomorrah, you think about eternal, sexual, immoral behavior. On they went. But you see, it was not just immoral as such. It was all tied up in their sexual religion. Their worship, which prescribed some of the grossest behavior you can possibly imagine. Service to idols, sacrificing themselves and their children to the evil one. And that's what Lot saw, and yet he chose for it because he was blinded. When he didn't first of all seek the kingdom of God and its righteousness, then we're always going to make mistakes. We're always going to make the wrong choice. Was there no survival for Lot? Well, yes, the land was fertile. Sodom and Gomorrah had so much to offer by way of ready market. There's such excitement in the city. But there was no survival for Lot. Lot could not live alone. Lot could not survive because he refused to seek first the kingdom of God and its righteousness. And what about Abram? Abram, well, he must not have had much of a chance, right? Because he was older, even though he had a lot of wealth, he had to live now on that rocky land, and there was really not much future for Abram. Abram let Lot choose that prosperous land while he himself went into poverty. No, not really. Abraham walked with God. And when Abram, as a type of Christ, was even driven further into isolation. Now, without Lot, on that rocky ground, God came to him and said, "Go, Abram, go walk the length and breadth of this land. I am giving it to you." For as Abram was walking in faith, God with him all the way, God restored, God repeated his promises. God said to Abram once more, "Abram, do you see it? Do you see all that land? Abram, do you see the rocks? Do you see in the distance Sodom and Gomorrah, where your nephew Lot thinks he's going to be happy? Do you see it all, Abram? Abram, I'm going to give it all to you. Abram, all of this world is going to be yours, for there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. And your seed is going to be as numerous as the sands of the seashore, as the dust of the earth. If you can count specks of dust, you can count your children, Abram. And in your seed, all the nations of the world will be blessed because you walk by faith." You were driven into isolation, but you walk by faith. And you are now heirs of my promises. You have already received, but you will receive even more, because the day of the Lord will come from your heirs. Brothers and sisters in Christ, young people, that, I submit to you, is the way to live. Like that, live by faith. And God will bless. Do you not know the promises that He's given in His Word? When you walk with me in newness of life, you have life and you have it to the full, says Jesus. You are God's heirs. Please remember that, young people. God will only bless when you keep your eyes fixed upon His promises. When you keep your eyes fixed upon His Word. When you live in harmony and in fellowship with Him. Because the way of the person who lives with God does not go from rags to riches, does not go from good to better to best, but instead they go from altar to God. Remember, that's what He did. When Abraham received those promises again, he built an altar. He did not make atonement. God had given him the promises. God showed him in the distance that day of Jesus Christ. God Himself would provide the atonement. But Abraham built the altar. And by doing that, he declared that he is saying, "Well, Lord, what else can I give you? What can I render to the Lord for all of His blessings to me? I will lift up the cup of salvation and I will dedicate myself to the Lord." That's building an altar. And that's what we travel on to, from grace to grace and to glory, from altar to God. And He will lead, and He will promise to give you everything you need for life, that you may have it abundantly. So be it. And all God's people said. Heavenly Father, we need to hear it again. Because we are so swayed by what this world will interpret to mean what lavish living is. We need to hear it again from your word that your promises are yes and amen in Jesus. That our promises are fixed in living with you. And you have promised that you have come to give us life and to have it to the full. And so we ask, Father, that you will bless us with the decisions that we make, that we may keep your eye fixed on the kingdom and its righteousness. Because our Lord Jesus told us that anyone who has left father and mother and brothers and sisters and land or fields for His sake and for the gospel will not fail to receive 100 times more and will have new life, eternal life besides. Give us the assurance, Father, that we walk hand in hand with You. For that is the only way to live. We pray this in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen.